Welcome to Annunciation with Father David. Father David is the priest at Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Decatur, Illinois, where every week people are connected to the ancient wisdom of Orthodox Christianity. Here is Father David.
Christ is in our midst. Good morning. So unless you were hiding under a rock, and I envy you if you were, you this week were bombarded with the story of the high school group from Covington High School who got all kinds of attention from our media for a confrontation that they had with a Native American elder. Now, I'm not going to dwell on this because I'm as sick and tired of the story as you are. However, the reason why this happened is not the reason that everybody is telling you it happened. The real reason that this whole thing happened in the first place is because of something called critical theory. And critical theory is an idea that has infected most of our political culture. It has infected our media culture. It has infected our entertainment culture, and is infecting the way we look at and think of the world. And so I'm going to spend some time dealing with critical theory. And it's important because we need to know what it is. We need to know why it is. And we need to know how to talk about it and to criticize it rationally, because critical theory is antithetical to the gospel. The origins of critical theory is in Marxism, because Marxism doesn't work, because Marx was an idiot when it came to economics. He completely underestimated the power of the middle class and the power of capitalism to allow those who were poor to lift themselves up out of poverty into a growing and powerful middle class. And so therefore, his dream of a Marxist future never materialized naturally, because, again, he didn't understand economics. But the idea of Marxism is powerful because it is a utopian dream, and utopias are always tempting. And so therefore, at the beginning, at the late 19th century, early 20th century, there was a group of thinkers who said, we need to come up with a new way of communicating Marxism so that it can work. And what arose out of that is what is today called critical theory. And what it does is it substitutes the proletariat and bourgeoisie, the worker and the owner, with the oppressed and the oppressor. And the genius of critical theory is its chameleon-like ability to be able to be applied in any situation, so that you can have the oppressor be whoever you need it to be, and you can have the oppressed be whoever you need it to be. And in the 20th century and now into the 21st century, the most common ways that critical theory was applied was using sex, race, and sexual orientation. So therefore, the white is the oppressor and the people of color are the oppressed. The male is the oppressor, the female is the oppressed. The heterosexual is the oppressor, the homosexual or the transsexual is the oppressed. This is why today we see all kinds of people being accused, whether they are or not, of racism, bigotry, chauvinism, etc., is because we have an entire group of people in our intellectual elite that are trying to classify people as either oppressed or oppressor. And of course, today's gospel reading flies in the face of this worldview of trying to organize people into these two classes, because Christ comes upon Zacchaeus, who, according to critical theory, is an oppressor because he's rich and he taxes and he's taxed people unfairly, and so therefore is extremely wealthy at the cost of those who he taxes. He is a classic Marxist oppressor. But what does Christ do? He says, Zacchaeus, I need to stay at your house tonight. And salvation has come to your house because Zacchaeus is also a son of Abraham. And he also says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And if we understand this in a macro sense, that those who are lost are those who suffer in sin. That's everybody. Because every single one of us sins on a daily basis. We are lost on a daily basis. And the Son of Man became incarnate not to save a particular class of people. He came to save everyone. And you can see how this flies in the face of critical theory. One of the goals of critical theory, of course, is power. Because if you can successfully convince a couple of groups of people to hate each other, to go at each other, you can create all kinds of crises that you can take advantage of to justify power. One of the classic examples of this is the Nazi Party successfully convinced the German people that the Jews were the oppressor and used that as an excuse to grab power. That's an extreme example, but it happens over and over and over again. You have a crisis, you have something happen, like the Covington boys, and you have a group of people trying to delineate who's in the oppressor group, who's in the oppressed group, and then try to excuse a grab for power. Today we celebrate St. John Chrysostom. And St. John Chrysostom demonstrates why Christianity has always been and will always be dangerous for those interested in power. So therefore dangerous for those interested in applying critical theory to the world. Because John Chrysostom was sent into exile by Empress Evdokia because he denounced her for her vices. She liked to do things that were not worthy of a Christian empress. And John Chrysostom openly criticized her, openly got in the face of those in power and called them on all of the things that they do to abuse that power. And so he was sent off into exile and he died while he was in exile. And today we celebrate the retrieval of his relics because, of course, he died in exile and those relics had to come back to Constantinople. And the reason, of course, that people in power and those who are interested in gaining power, those who like to use critical theory, see Christianity as such a threat is for exactly why St. John Chrysostom criticized the person in power. Because the empress is no less important than the beggar on the street. Because everyone is created according to the image and likeness of God. Christ says today he came to seek the lost. And someone who is lost can be a position in great power in the government. Someone who is lost can be the CEO of a billion-dollar company. Someone who is lost can be someone wandering the street without a home. Someone who is lost can be a mother or a father or a child. He seeks everyone. And therefore, the person who's begging on the street is no less important than the empress of the greatest empire in the world. Therefore, the bishop, whose role it is to preach the gospel, to teach, to help try to save the lost, is equally responsible to try to find that person on the street and bring them into the church, to feed them and clothe them and help them, as he is to go and confront the empress who's doing things that are not Christian. And thus, critical theory blows up in the face of Christianity. Because, of course, we do not see the oppressed and the oppressor. Unless, of course, we want to consider the fact that the entire human race is oppressed by sin and death. In which case, our hope is in our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to defeat sin and death. And it is through him that we can find redemption, forgiveness of our sins, and eternal life. Thus, we need to understand what critical theory is and why it is, so that we can talk about what happens in our world, and we need to be able to point out how critical theory really doesn't work in the same way that Marxism really doesn't work. Because everyone, every single one of us is a human being. If we really want to get to the nitty-gritty of critical theory necessitates things like racism, bigotry, sexism. It necessitates those things because you have to organize people into various groups and have one group be the oppressor and one group the oppressed. So therefore, you need racism in order to claim that people of color are being oppressed. Its goal is not to get rid of these things. It needs these things in order to justify its own existence. And of course, we as Christians look at things like bigotry and racism and sexism and say, no, because Christ came to save everyone. Everyone has value. Everyone comes to the cup. Everyone enjoys the resurrection. Everyone is welcome into the kingdom of heaven. And there is no greater thing than uniting yourself to Christ. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done. Every single one of us has a path of repentance and salvation that is equal and the same to everyone else. Our Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, to the ages of ages.